Thank you for listening to the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that your life will be forever changed by what you hear today. Our goal is to encourage, inspire, and challenge you to experience the real Jesus. Thanks for listening. Now, let's tune in.
Well, good morning, church. How is everyone? Doing good. How about that time change? Boo. Going in the fall is so much more fun, right? That extra hour of sleep is so much better than getting robbed. Got robbed last night. No, I am grateful that summer's coming around. I'm about ready for a little warmer weather, I'll be honest with you. Now, not Florida hot. I take like Minnesota hot. You know what I'm saying? Florida hot is just too hot. That's okay. We're going to be blessed either way. Amen. Let me just start by saying this. I'm going to talk about one of the most controversial subjects in the church today. And I hope that your heart is ready to receive it. I hope that you will trust the scriptures. Everything I'm going to share with you today is directly in the Word of God. I'm not going to give you opinion. So if you have a problem with what's said, it's you, not me. Okay. I say that in a little bit of jest. My prayer is that it lands well. See, I can get up here and I can talk about your healing and I get shouted all the way out of this building. I can get up here and I can talk about your marriages being restored and you'll shout me out of that curtain back there. I can get up here and talk about all the increase and all the blessings of Abraham hitting your life and you'll shout me down. But the minute I talk about your money, you'll shut up. Yes? And I understand. And a lot of the reason comes from that there have been people who have abused spiritual giving. But let me just say this before I get started. Hope City ain't got no jets. Hope City has no luxury condos. Hope City has no mansions we're paying for. Let me tell you what we pay for here. Backpacks to school. Food for people that are hungry. We pay light bills for widows. We take care of people who need the church to be the church. So before I get started, right off the bat, do not lump me in. Do not lump this house in with the abuses that have gone on in the name of God. Is that fair? Be fair with me, I'll be fair with you. That's how this works. Today I want to talk to you about the test of tithing. The Anchor series is based on the promises that still hold today. Did you know the scripture talks about money over 800 times? And I believe there's something there. Anytime there's an emphasis on finances in the scripture, it's not because God needs your money. And let me just dip into that for a second. Right now, I haven't looked at it today, but depending on the day you look at it, gold is anywhere between $1,800 and $2,500 an ounce. Anything less than that, buy it, because it goes up pretty frequently into the 2000s. But the problem is that our world puts great value in gold, and God paves his streets with it. God does not see money the way you see money. Can I tell you, your money is simply a tool. It's the same as a hammer. You put the hammer in the right hands, they'll build you a house. Put the hammer in the wrong hands, they'll tear your house to pieces. I got a 7-year-old. Trust me, I know about destruction, right? I say all that because I want to preemptively strike the enemy before they strike your mind. I want to make sure and set you up for the biggest win today. Because see, the minute a pastor starts talking about money, a lot of you will project pain from the past into your future and you'll be locked out of a blessing that God promises you in his word. And I want better for you. I want increase for you. I want the windows of heaven to open up and pour out a blessing your storehouses cannot contain. And I want you to have understanding as it pertains to your money. See, a lot of people don't understand. Money only has two options. Money is either an investment or a consumption. That's it. It's either an investment or a consumption. That's the only two avenues money has. You either eat it or you plant it. That's the way it works. And too many people have too little because they have consumed their seed. So when it's harvest time, you don't have seed in the ground, so there's nothing to harvest. And then you're shocked when you're in a perpetual state of need. You ate your seed. That's all that happened. But you can fix it today. Today, I want to talk to you about the test of tithing. And before we get started, there's all kind of crazy theology out there about tithing. And I'm going to clear some of it up for you today. The first thing I hear is, well, Pastor, tithe is part of the law in the Old Testament. It's not for today. What? First off, let me just say this. Just because something was part of the law doesn't mean we have discarded it. If something's beneficial in the Old Testament, it's still beneficial today. See, the same people that I say, well, that's part of the law, we can't use it. They don't want to argue when it's talking about the blessings of Abraham. But when it's talking about tithing, now they don't want to play anymore. So see, the reason I'm coming to you today is I'm going to correct some of this, these fallacies in your mind to let you understand that God is still blessing his people financially today. Now, a lot of people will say, well, it's part of the law and we're under a different covenant. Yes, and praise God for that. But I also want to let you know that tithe preceded the law. And I don't know how deep I can go in here today. I hope I got some people that can go with me if I go to the deep end of the pool. Because I need you to understand something, that there is a principle that's called divine portion that far precedes your tithe. It far precedes tithe. So the law was given to Moses about tithing. The problem is Abraham tied to Melchizedek 430 years before the law. You want to go even a little bit crazier? 2,500 years before the law, we see Cain and Abel tithing. Go even further back. Let me come down for this. I want you to understand this. Divine portion. Divine portion. You're going to like this. Divine portion. In the Garden of Eden, God said you can eat of any tree you want to except one. He said, that one belongs to me. You don't touch that tree. Anything else, eat as much as you want. Can I tell you something about tithe? If people really understood what tithe was for, you couldn't stop people from tithing. You wouldn't be able to stop them from it. I'm going to give you all that today. God said you have everything you want in the Garden of Eden. Eat as much as you want. I mean, man, can you imagine? Not even having to grow the crops. Just pick the fruit, baby. That sounds good to me. You ever gone to Publix and got the fruit already peeled for you? They had cantaloupe, buy one, get one this week. I tore some cantaloupe up. Probably going to stop on the way home and buy some more. Now, the fruit's already peeled for you, cut up. Man, all you got to do is eat it. Man, that's fun eating right there. No labor at all attached to you eating. That's what the Garden of Eden was. Nobody had to grow it. The Bible says God spoke it and it came. But then he said something different. He said, if you want more of it after you eat it, take the seed and put it back in the ground. Oh, don't miss that. If you don't have enough of what you like, don't consume it. Plant it. And that'll preach. I got to keep going. I can't stand there too long. Divine portion. So Genesis, God said, you have all these other fruit. That one tree, that's mine. You don't mess with that tree. Then, let's see. The tribes. God said, there's going to be 12 tribes, but there's going to be one tribe you don't touch. The Levites. He said, all the rest of these tribes, he said, they can go out, they can buy land, they can grow cattle, they can plant produce, but these Levites, they're going to be for my worship. So don't eat from my tree, don't mess with my Levites. All right? Then they started increasing in cattle. And God said, as you bring your cattle in to the town, he goes, we're going to count out. He goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 10 was mine. Bring it to the temple. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, the 10th goat, bring it to the temple. So now we've got, don't eat from my tree, don't touch my Levites, don't mess with my cows and my herds. And then something really strange happened. God said, I want to meet with you. So build me a temple. Now this outer area, this gated area, the outer courts, as it's called, you can party as you want to out there. You can even come into the temple and light a candle and burn some incense. But there's going to be this one section that's cut off that you ain't supposed to touch, called the Holy of Holies. He said, that's Daddy's. You don't touch it until I give you instruction. He said, it's so powerful. If you abuse it, it'll destroy you. And even in that, the divine portion was to bring healing and blessing and increase. So don't eat my trees. Don't eat fruit in Genesis. Don't mess with my Levites. Don't step past the curtain. Don't touch my cattle. God has always reserved a portion for His. It's always been His and His purpose. And so now this theology is going around that God no longer takes a portion. You better go read the scripture. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 through verse 12. We're going to read it today. And I love the way it starts out. I, the Lord, do not change. Boom. Case closed. Let's do another song and get out of here. Come on. I'm going to beat the Methodist to the buffet. Amen. I can stop right there. If I seek a divine portion in the Old Testament, I don't change. I still seek a divine portion. Can I tell you, God still desires for you to have a Sabbath, a day of rest. He still desires for you to have the best of heaven every day, but there has to be seed before there can be fruit. Ain't never in your life found a piece of fruit didn't come from a seed. Not once. Because ain't none of y'all been to the Garden of Eden. Divine portion. Let's talk about it. What is a tithe? Simple. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year. It's a tenth. The tithe is a tenth, 10%. What you don't understand probably is the significance of the number 10. If you go throughout the scripture, you're going to see some stuff here. 10 signifies testing and perfection. It's the trying of our faith that leads to the perfection of our faith. Now, I'm going to ask a series of questions, and I'm going to give you a cheat sheet. The answer is always 10. We good? If I ask a question, you just say 10, you'll get a point. You ready? How many times is the phrase God said in Genesis? How many things did God create on the first day? How many commandments did God give Moses? How many times did God test the children of Israel in the wilderness? How many times were Jacob's wages changed? How many days was Daniel tested? How many curses did God send upon Egypt to test Pharaoh's submission? How many elders did Boaz call upon to oversee the union between he and Ruth? The Passover lamb was selected on what day of the first month? How many days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and the Day of Atonement? Where were the days of atonement? Where does it fall on the seventh month? On the 10th day, right? King Nebuchadnezzar, as speaking about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said they were 10 times better than the other magicians and astrologers. The last great kingdom of man is symbolized by how many toes in Daniel? How many horns are used to describe the final kingdoms of man in Revelation? How many generations lived before the flood? How many disciples were there? 12. Oh, man, I got some of y'all. That is so sweet. Oh, man. Let's keep going. Better stay sharp. You better stay sharp. How many generations passed between Noah and Abraham? Jesus used them. Everybody's quiet now. Well, could have been 7. I don't even know no more. Pastor Josh tripping, man. I'm going to write him an email this week. Can I tell you, when Jesus was pitching parables, he used 10. He said, 10 virgins, 10 minas, 10 talents. How many men did Jesus heal from leprosy, testing their gratitude? How many times does Jesus say, I'm the I am in John? 10. How many days of testing are mentioned in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10? What percentage of our tithe is supposed to be? Okay. Winners all around. Now, let me say this. Your tithe is not tied to your salvation. I just want to start there. Because I've seen pastors abuse people and scare people into giving. And I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to think that your eternity is tied to your ability to give. God loves you. But he loves you so much. It's in Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. It's not my notes. But Jesus said this. He said, and I give you the keys to the kingdom. He said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Notice he said earth first. You want to bring heaven to earth? You got to have the keys. This is just a key. Not tied to your salvation. Can I tell you, it can severely affect other people's experience of God. Lord, give us wisdom. I need you to know my heart. Hope City does not need your money. Say it again. Hope City does not need your money. And the reason I can say that without any fear at all is because I have seen God bring water out of rocks. I have seen him create rivers in deserts. I have seen him, through his word, provide manna from ravens. If this vision is from God, there's nothing you or I can do to stop it. So you saying, I'm going to withhold my tithe from Hope City, that doesn't bother me. All you're doing is clogging up the portals of heaven. And you're going to see this in just a minute. No, it's not for me. Can I tell you, Hope City and God do not need your money. What God desperately needs are people who are obedient. Man, I wish I could get you just to see this for a moment. If you will be obedient, irrelevant of the request, you'll find yourself in places you could have never gone without it. You will find yourself with access to things that you never, never could have had without God. Because he can trust you with big assignments. See, the scripture says that we're trusted and we're faithful in little, he'll bless us with much. And what it is, it's little. I have had the benefit. It's a pretty incredible benefit. Some of you in the medical field have seen this, of being with people as they take their last breath. It's a beautiful thing. And I have never seen one that wasn't just overflowing with grace and the goodness of God. I've never seen one. I don't understand it. I just know that the portal of heaven opens and I get just a taste. And I've never once had one person say, wish I'd have held on to that money. You know what I wish I'd have done? I wish I'd have bought that new car. But I've had people grab my hand and squeeze as tight as their bodies will let them and say, did I do enough? You're going to be okay. God loves you. You were obedient. That's all God asks. You see, the problem is you are comparing your obedience with somebody else's obedience. And you can't compare what God has put them in with what he's put you in. People are geared differently. They're gifted differently. And if you compare what God has called somebody else to, first off, you'll be afraid. Because you can't keep up with other people and their giftings and their callings. But other people can't keep up with you either. But you've got to be obedient to step into it. And I love the scripture in Malachi because it talks about obedience. Let's dig into it. I've got a few more minutes. I'm going to spend this wisely. I'll spend this time wisely with you. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. And he says, so that you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Paul's right there. Let me put this in Crestview East for you. I don't change, and you should be really grateful for that. Because if I ever decided to go back on my covenant, you'd be the first one to die. What? Yeah, he called the Israelites a stiff-necked people. He's about to tell you they're a disobedient people. He says, you're not destroyed. He says, ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my ordinances. What's an ordinance? It's what's ordinary. What's ordinary? Ordinary behavior. And you've not kept my ordinances. Return to me, and I'll return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? And God asks a question. Will a mere mortal rob God? There's a lot being said right there. He's saying, yes, I'm God, but I have positioned you with something I have required and requested. You have withheld it from me. This is heavy stuff. Stay with me. Stay with me. And again, guard your heart in this. Guard your heart in this. I promise you the enemy's whispering to a few of y'all right now. This is a pastor going after your money. Listen, I don't care about your money. I care about your blessing. I care about your obedience. Now watch this. He says, return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord Almighty. You ask, how do we return? Will a mortal rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. He says, you're under a curse, your whole nation, because you're robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Only time in the scripture God says, test me. It's almost like he knew we'd struggle. See, it's easy to trust God with something you can't touch. You start talking about that bank account and them dollars and cents, it gets real, real fast. Now, don't shout me down now. He says, just test me. And see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Then he says, I'll prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop their fruit until they're ripe. He says, then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land. See, everybody wants the last part of that, but they want it tied to disobedience, but it don't come with disobedience. See, if you go to Burger King right now, you can't get the cheesy tots with a kid's meal. They're not going to sell it to you. You got to buy the cheesy tots separate. There's certain things that just don't go together, right? Even Burger King will tell you that. You got to buy a Whopper meal before you can upgrade from a regular fry to a cheesy tot. I know these things. Know these things. In the scripture, there are certain things tied to disobedience and certain things tied to obedience. Certain things just don't go together. And can I tell you, I love the fact that it says, if you'll just be obedient. And here's what's funny is, my 10% is equal to your 10%. You make a dollar, it's just 10 cents. And you know how I know that? Because there are children that get on the app and they give 10% of $20 to $2. We see it every week. You say, yeah, but that's just $2. To them, pretty significant. We've also got people that will make $200,000 a year, and they're going to put 20 grand in the pot. You say, man, if I had that, I'll never forget this, boy. I'll never forget this. Several years ago, I had a guy tell me, he said, hey, I bought some lottery tickets for the church. I said, well, I hope you win. And he said, when I win, he said, I'm going to tithe to the church. I said, oh, okay. I said, you know what? Let's do one better. Just tithe on your paycheck and we'll start there. Just do that. See, if you want to obey in little, the much, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. You see, if I'm handing out, like, let's say I know Yannick needs a blessing. And I'm bound by my word to partner with man to get you your blessing. And I give it to Kim, and she keeps it all and doesn't give it to you. I stop giving to Kim, and I come over here to her, and I say, hey, Yannick needs a blessing. I'm going to put this in your hand. What are you going to do with it? And if she gives it to Yannick, the next time everybody in this section needs something, I'm coming back to her. And I'm going to say, here's a lot. bless everybody. You can invest or you can consume. That's it. The Bible says to cast your bread onto the ocean, it'll return to you in 100 waves. That does not mean take money and go throw it into the ocean. That is a parable to invest your money into kingdom things. Me and Gabe the other day, he wanted to play paintball for his birthday. I don't know why. It's painful. He's like, Dad, you want to go? I was like, I'll drive you there, but be very clear. There will be no shooting of the father at paintball. And he and Dalton, a bunch of their buddies, Bo, a bunch of them went and shot each other up like a bunch of crazy kids. And I had a great time. And we had just dropped off Dalton, who was the last person with us. And we're driving through a neighborhood and we find this little church. It's right down here off of 90, Pilgrim's Rest Baptist. And they got signs out there, kids with poster boards, free car wash. I told Gabe, I said, we got a car wash coming up. I said, let's put some seed in the ground. I said, let's swing through and see what they need. So we pull up. I said, man, what y'all got going on? Guy goes, free car wash. I said, well, can I sow something? And he goes, no, man, it's free. You need an oil change? I was like, no, we're really good, man. The truck's clean. Don't need an oil change. I said, but how about this? I said, how about this? You're doing something for everybody else. I said, and I like that. I said, I'm pastor at Hope City. I said, can I put some seed in your ground? The guy just kind of looked at me. And I said, let me put some money in your hand. And he said, well, we don't really have a purpose for it yet. I said, I promise you a purpose will come up eventually. I said, but the fact that you're out here serving our community, oh, I love that. Let me put some seed in your garden. Because you're out here serving people. That's the kind of soil I like my seed in. I said, okay. I said, here, take this. I gave him some money. Don't tell Wendy I took it out of my fund money. Don't tell Wendy I got that. She's not here today. So I sold some money, and we're driving out of the parking lot, and Gabe goes, you're not going to let him wash your car? I said, no, baby. No. I said, let me explain to you what just happened. I said, there was just a supernatural exchange that took place. He said, what do you mean? I said, son, I said, I am exhilaratingly high at this moment. I'm so pumped up and excited. He goes, why? I said, son, that money in my hand, I said, is more useless than it was a year ago right now. So I threw it in the ocean. I threw it in the ocean of God's capability and excellence. And I said, God, this is yours. Here's some seed. Now it's up to you to multiply it. Now it's up to you to grow it. Now it's up to you to take it and go win souls with it. And see, here's the best part about it. You are only liable for planting the seed. After that, it's on God. So you plant the seed. Gabe goes, so you just gave him money? I said, no, it's much bigger than that. I said, I invested in that church. I said, son, understand. I said, you're young. You need to understand the difference between consumption and investment. I said, an investment, I said, will always return something. Always return something. I said, consumption, you're done. It's over. Nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, can I tell you what God wants from your other 90%? He doesn't care. He never mentions it. Can I tell you, I thought about this week. He could have asked for the 90. And because he gave his boy on a cross for me, I'd still be tickled to give it. Can I promise you, there is a day coming when you'll be faced with eternity and you will be tickled for the investment he made into you. He sowed his child into the dirt for you. It's another picture of seed. And the harvest was eternity for men and women all around the world for eternity. Can I tell you, your seed in the soil is more powerful than your seed in your hand. These dadgum birds. Planting seed out of my property. These stinking ratchet, I don't even know the name of these funky little birds. You throw this seed, man, it's like crack. They come in, just bah, 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 eat everything. I'm talking about you're planting it and they're landing behind you. You can't scare them off. Then they fly behind you and eat. They just consume everything you throw out. The scripture says in Malachi chapter 3, he says, I'll rebuke the devourer on your behalf. He says, you can put seed anywhere. There's a chance it'll go away. But you put seed in the kingdom, I'll make sure the devourer does not get it. Let me put it in a different word for you. Invested in the kingdom, and God says, I'll take it from there. If Jesus was sitting right here, I'd give him everything in my pocket, this microphone, I walk out this mug in my Skippies. I give him everything I had. Take it. Use it. Get me a return on it. Because see, the return is something money can't buy. Can I have like three more minutes? Three more minutes. If you got to go, you can go and go. What I have been given from the Lord far outruns my paycheck. Me and my family are able to experience things that the checks we make would never afford. We're stewarding, and by the way, your pastor tithes. I tithe. Let me also say this. It's my first fruit. It's the first check I write every month. Can I also say this? Your tithe is not your leftover either. It's your first fruit. Why am I telling you that? Not so I can be prideful. I'm telling you that because it explains the blessing that's on my life. You are looking at a young man that statistics say I should not be where I am right now. My past does not equal up to the blessing I'm currently walking in. Something in spiritual places has been unlocked for me, and I'm walking in it to the place to where I don't even think about my tithe anymore. It's the first check I write. I'm scared not to tithe. Say, Josh, you're leaning on this hard. Yes, because I know there's a recession. It was always told to me growing up, if what's in your hand is not enough to feed you and your family, it's called seed, plant it. Several weeks back, they were giving us more engineering stuff, and they told us that our engineering went for the new church building, which, praise God, it's moving along. We're excited about that. But they came to us and they said, hey, we gave you an initial bid for the land development to be $300,000 to $500,000. He said, we need to update that. I said, no problem. Just let us know what it is. God's faithful. They said, it could be anywhere from $1.5 to $2 million. Huh. What? That ain't a jump. That's a body slam. That's something totally different. You punch me in my throat and ask me to laugh at you. That's horrible. I said, you have robbed me. This is horrible. He said, that's just the going rate right now. He said, you got all this stuff going on. You got five things going to be developed out here, five different phases. You want to do it right? So I said, yeah, we'll do it right, but daggone. $2 million for land development? I thought the whole project was going to be $2.5 million. I called Wendy. I said, babe, I'm down. She said, why? I said, I feel like our church's thing, the whole project just got doubled. She said, what happened? I said, talk to the engineers. They said the land development's going to be almost $2 million, like $1.5 million to $2 million. She just laughed. I said, no, I'm serious, Wendy. I'm struggling over here. She said, I'm not laughing at you. She said, but has God been faithful? I said, yeah, he's been faithful. She said, do you know how much seed Hope City has put in the ground? And I went, wait, say that again. She said, for the past 2 years, every ministry we've come across, we have sown into. We feed families every day. We invest in ministries that people will never even hear about. She goes, not to mention the backpacks, the meals, the bills we cover for people. We're always stepping out in faith. She said, we've got too much seed in the ground to be afraid. I said, God, first, thank you for a godly wife. And then it dawned on me. That's what the obedience is all about. That's why when other ministries come to Hope City, we've always got what we need to bless them. Because God told me that part of this vision is that we finish empty. We finish empty. When the trumpet blows, it's my goal we finish with nothing in the bank. In the bank, it's limited. You put it in the soil, God can do something with it. Can I tell you, the enemy will point out your seed and make you think it's all you've got. And the whole time, God is in the soil saying, come on, trust me, trust me. Trust me. Give me the seed and trust me. That's why I can look at each one of you in the eye and tell you, it's not about your money. So many people have abused God's money for so long. And it's been a trick of the devil. It's so that we say, nah, I'll start with 1% and see how that goes. I get it. I've seen the reports. I've watched those programs where they chase these mega pastors down and they got 2 or 3 jets and they got these mansions and they got all, I get it. Like I said earlier, that's not here. Some of you in this room have been beneficiaries of other people's goodness here. I want you to understand this is good soil. It's safe soil. Everything we do is under the Lord here. There are other ministries that are in the city of Crestview that could not exist if it wasn't for Hope City. I've been at other ministries. It was all about that ministry. This ain't one of those. I guess I'm just wanting to challenge you today to step out of that old wineskin thinking that says, well, it's an Old Testament thing. Show me. Show me. Show me where tithe has ceased in the New Testament. Just show me. I'll recant every word that's come out. You know how I know it's not there? I've spent weeks looking for it. It's not there. Let me show you the power of it. Genesis, all the way to Malachi. The first book in the Old Testament, last book in the Old Testament. Genesis, God opens up, not with the law, with an opportunity. Man, don't miss that. Headgummit, that's so heavy. He says, if you'll just honor the divine portion, you'll have everything you need. You'll have everything you need. And then you go all the way, the Pentateuch, you go all the way through the whole Old Testament. You get Malachi, and he's about to go silent for 400 years. And he says, I started this thing telling you about being careful with your seed. Being careful that you bring your first fruit. I'm going to finish this Old Testament this way. Be careful with your seed. Bring your first fruit. Invest in the kingdom. 400 years of silence. God said nothing to anyone for 400 years. Last thing he said was, test me in this. While I'm quiet, test me in this. Even when you can't see it, test me in this. When it looks like I'm not involved, test me in this. When it looks like your seed is not enough, test me in this. When it looks like the recession's going to overrun you, test me in this. And over and over and over, test me in this. You see, because he knew, when you can't hear him, you still have to test him. Some of you are in a place right now, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You're looking for a job. You're looking for increase. You're looking for your future. Can I tell you, test God. Test him. Throw your seed and watch what'll happen. At the end of the day, what God can do through your obedience is absolutely astonishing. It's astonishing. Everybody stand to your feet. I want to give you one more verse. Stand to your feet. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 through 8. Uh-oh, New Testament. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Challenging some paradigms here. Paul's writing to the church of Corinth. He says, you remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God loves a cheerful giver. God's able to bless you abundantly, that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Challenge you. Have the faith to step out. So generously. There's so much more at stake than another bill to pay. There's so much more at stake than watching Netflix or whatever it is that's burning up your cash. There's so much more at stake. And I just implore to each of you, be obedient. Be obedient. If God can use me, man, he can use any of you in here to do so much bigger. And I challenge you to just be obedient. Step out in faith. Sow your seeds into the kingdom. Watch what will happen. At the end of the day, it's not my word on the line. At the end of the day, I want you to understand my heart is to take nothing from you but to give you everything. My goal is to see this church full of so many blessed people that we always have what we need every time the Lord calls us to do something big. And see, we think we're seeing big requests now. It's nothing for where compared to what we're going to. It's nothing. It's God says, that's okay. Just trust me in little things. Just be faithful in little. You'll graduate to much. But just it's the same obedience. It's the same obedience. My desire is to be a blessing to our community. My desire is that God uses Hope City to be a beacon of hope, to restore the hearts of the fathers back to their sons, the hearts of the sons back to their fathers, to challenge the devil at every corner, at every stop, and to push back into the darkness every demon from hell that's tried to take territory in this city. And I want to thank you. Those of you who are members, I want to thank you for being faithful. But it just gets bigger from here. It just gets better from here. If you're not stepping out in faith with your finances, do it. Do it and watch what God will do. And listen, if this ain't your home church, don't you dare put your check in this church. You put your church and your money in your church. That's what the Bible says, your storehouse. Where are you fed from? That's where you sow. Right? Is this okay? Is this okay what I shared with you today? We okay? Nobody too upset? If you are, it's okay. Send me an email. We'll talk about it. I love each one of you. And I want to see you unlock those windows of heaven that pour out those blessings that you can't even contain. Amen. Let me bless you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that it challenges, it corrects, it realigns, it increases. Help us to apply it today. Bless us again. Be gracious to us and show us your favor. Make your face shine upon us and give us peace both now and forevermore. Cover us with the blood of Jesus from the top of our head to the soles of our feet, I thank you that no weapon formed against us will prosper. Father, help us to get out of our own way. Father, for those who are just in a season, they don't have anything to give, would you bring a supernatural increase to their house? And then for those who are able to give them the faith to trust you in their finances. Father, your anchors and your promises still hold. In a world of shifting sand, you do not change. I'm grateful for that today. Bring us back next week with more wisdom from your word, more of your word locked away in our heart. We love you, we bless you, and we thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. God bless you. We love you. And we'll see you next week.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Hope City Community Church Podcast. We pray that what you've heard today will bless you until the next time we meet again. We hope you'll join us again soon to be encouraged, inspired, and challenged to experience the real Jesus. Take good care, and God bless.